Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mark. I am an assistant professor of pharmacy practice at the University of Pacific in Stockton, California. I'm also a practicing clinical pharmacist. And today we're going to be talking about some of the data we've done over the last couple of years. Actually, this is going to mainly focus on last year's data about seniors who are selecting and hopefully saving some money when they select their Part D plan for the year during open enrollment. I have no relationships to disclose in terms of disclosure statements. And we're going to just start with a kind of a brief overview of Medicare Part D in terms of the plans that are available. The intent of Medicare Part D was to offer a multitude of plans for patients to select from. And the idea behind this was that this amount of competition between these drug plans would hopefully decrease drug costs to some extent, and hopefully that cost would be pushed down to the beneficiary. Each company in each of the 34 Medicare regions can offer up to three plans per region. One of those has to be kind of the basic structure plan or the standard benefit plan. They're able to determine formulary requirements and restrictions within some general guidelines given by CMS. They can also waive, reduce the annual deductible, which varies a little bit year to year. They can offer coverage in the gap, or what most people call the donut hole. They can also offer quantity discounts, or they can offer mail order and mail order incentives to use a mail order program. Now, each year, and you're probably seeing stuff on TV right now about how the Medicare enrollment period has changed, seniors have to choose their plan during an open enrollment period of the previous year. Historically, that's been from November 15th to December 31st of each year. However, this year it's moving a little earlier to October 15th to December 7th. We're actually right in the middle of it right now. So all of you that know anyone who's a Medicare beneficiary, please tell them it's time to reevaluate their plan, and you'll see why in a little bit. The main reason that we can find for this push a little earlier was that we were signing up, and a lot of beneficiaries were signing up right before the end of the year, and then they weren't getting their cards in time when it would kick in on January 1. As a practicing pharmacist, I can tell you Januarys in a pharmacy get pretty fun with Medicare beneficiaries because a lot of them either change plans, they don't have their new insurance yet, or their benefit changed and they didn't reevaluate it, and now their copay went from $40 to $80. And that's the copay of a covered brand name product. As you can see, I call this the plethora of plans that we have across the nation, but most regions now are in the low 30s, whereas several years ago we had many states or regions that offered over 60 plans. Majority of them offered over 50 plans for beneficiaries to decide between. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us have maybe five on the good end to actually choose between with our employer. Many of us have only two or three, sometimes only one. And we're actually asking seniors to choose between, in our state of California, 33 different drug plans. And that's just the standalone drug plans we're talking about now. We've excluded all of the Medicare Advantage plans, which are that comprehensive Part A, Part B, and Part D all wrapped into one bundle. Those actually vary on a county-per-county basis. And so what you're seeing here in terms of the number of plans that are offered are only those standalone prescription drug plans that are just going to deal with the D benefit and the drug benefit. So just keep that in the back of your mind as well, as this isn't all they have to choose between. So how do you do this? Well, the only efficient way and the only exact way we can figure out how to do this is to use the Medicare website at medicare.gov or to call Medicare, and they essentially go on the website for you and just give you the results verbally over the phone. However, based on a Kaiser survey early on, only 10% of Medicare beneficiaries actually went to the Medicare.gov website, and then only 6% actually used the Plan Finder tool available on that site to compare all the plans in their region. Obviously, not a very good sample there, or a good portion of beneficiaries. A second survey, this was done in 2007 after the first year had gone through and the second open enrollment period had happened. And what Kaiser Family Foundation found in that study was that many beneficiaries had no intention of reevaluating their plans between years. They thought the first go-around was quite a bit of a hassle, so why revisit it? They already thought they were in the best plan. Their insurance agent told them this was the plan for them. They also, or certain other groups, also said, use our plans. Some beneficiaries were paying for drug plans, but they weren't using any prescription medication. However, they were paying for these very expensive enhanced plans with very high premiums and getting essentially no benefit from it, just paying for it in case they needed it. We also saw a lot of plan loyalty, as did the Kaiser Family Foundation, where they said, I've been with Plan A since I've been employed with so-and-so, and I'm going to stay with them. They've done me good. And they're paying an excessive amount for that plan. They also thought that, and this goes back when there were about 50 plans a region, they also thought, well, they're all about the same. They're all offering the same benefit, so the cost must be about the same. And I can tell you early on, there was a tenfold difference in premium costs alone. So some plans were down under $10. Some within the first year or two had jumped to almost $100 a month just for the monthly premium. So that clearly was a false belief. And what we have typically seen since we've been doing this about the last four open enrollment periods is, and you'll see this in other things as well, is that the monthly premium does tend to increase. We've seen a gradual increase in the benchmark. We've also seen a gradual increase in the top enhanced plans in terms of what they charge. Realize sometimes this increase is a doubling of the monthly premium. There was one plan in particular, and I'm not naming names or anything, that was about $40 the first year. And the second year, they jumped it to $80, the monthly premium now, and they cut half of the coverage in the gap. So beneficiaries that didn't actually take the time to look at that during the open enrollment period were now stuck in the plan for the following year, paying double the cost for their premium and not getting any of the enhanced coverage that they probably went with that plan for. And we saw a lot of flip-flopping like this each year from 2007 to 2008 to 2009. Formulary coverage. Again, they go to the pharmacy on January 1st, January 2nd, and the drug that they've been taking for 4 years is no longer covered. The copays change. So they might have been paying $40 before. Now it might go up to $70 or $80. You don't know unless you evaluate. And what we've been seeing now is that a lot of plans, especially with the attrition we've seen in the last 2 years, is many of the plans are no longer being offered. Now, if let's say one of the providers or one of the sponsors has three different plans in the region and their top-tier plan drops, they'll actually bump their patients to one of the lower-tier plans that they have if the patient does nothing, if they don't re-enroll in a plan that they so desire. But what we've also been seeing, and this is true for the Advantage plans as well, is some sponsors go away completely. And the beneficiaries just get a letter that says if you don't re-enroll in a plan, you will just be dropped flat out. And so this is where they need to actually go now and make a new choice as to what plan they're going to enroll in for the upcoming year. Previous research that our group and others have done has actually shown that there's only about a 1 in 10 chance of being in the lowest cost plan moving forward. So let's say you take all the time 1 year and you actually find that you're in the lowest cost plan based on the drugs that you're taking. Well, next year, you got about anywhere from about a 1 in 8 to a 1 in 10 chance that that's actually going to still be the lowest cost plan for you. And again, if we're thinking about our Medicare population, they're used to Medicare, which has not changed much at all since they got it. They're used to the same stuff, the same payments, the same doctors, and now what it looks like is they have to continually be evaluating every single year and changing into a new plan if they want to minimize their drug costs. So for this study, what we're going to do is we're going to look at potential out-of-pocket cost savings. Again, these are the savings to the beneficiary by switching to the lowest cost standalone prescription drug plan in 2011. And this was done again last year during the open enrollment period. We wanted to look at this year is how beneficiaries were choosing their current prescription drug plan and what were influencing their enrollment decisions during that period that we were helping them. And then we also wanted to do just a little analysis between beneficiary subsidy status. So those with no subsidy and those with Medi-Cal, California's Medicaid. I always think California has to call it something different just because it's California. So in terms of what we do, our school is actually heavily involved in community outreach events. So we go to HUD housing facilities. We go to senior centers. A lot of these patients aren't don't seek out help, so we go to them. And last year we did nine community outreach events, mostly in Stockton, Lodi. We also did one down in Modesto and one in San Jose. And really focusing on this group that, one, they self-identify, they come out to these events, and two, they're really looking for some cost savings here. In total, in those 8 days and nine events, we saw about 400 Medicare beneficiaries. And what we do at the university is we actually have an elective course where we train, that year it was 30 students, pharmacy interns who are enrolled in our program to know Medicare and to more specifically know Medicare Part D and know how to really use this Plan Finder tool. So not only can they enter everything on the Plan Finder tool, but they can actually assess if the Plan Finder tool is giving us the right results that we should expect for that patient. Within those 399 patients, we identified 269 beneficiaries that were currently enrolled in a standalone prescription drug plan in 2010, and we got all the cost data that was available from the Medicare website. And you're probably looking at this, if you're familiar with the website, going, hey, that's the old site. Well, there you go. We only use the Medicare website because we feel that that's the direct line from CMS in terms of what is the newest or the most up-to-date information. There are other websites out there that are mainly geared for insurance providers from what we've seen, but we feel that this has the most power when it comes to getting it directly from the source, and knowing how to manipulate this gives us as pharmacists the ability to do some other things such as therapeutic alternatives and substitutions like that. Realize that at these outreach events, we're not just doing the Medicare Part D. We also do a full MTM on every beneficiary that comes through the door. So we do medication therapy management for anyone taking a single medication even. We also offer, this year we're offering many more services such as diabetes screening, blood pressure, cholesterol assessment, bone mineral density. We have a NIOX machine to assess asthma control and asthmatics, and we're doing a lot of immunizations as well to get to some of these hard-to-reach communities. So all of our data was collected using a standardized collection survey, including demographic information, plan cost information, and also to record factors that influence their plan enrollment decisions. For the plan cost data, the three things that are going to be relevant to this study are the current cost of their prescription drug plan, or their current plan cost the following year, excuse me. Again, this was all done at the end of 2010, so we were looking forward to their 2011 estimated costs, and then also what the cost of the lowest cost prescription drug plan was in 2011. From that, we calculate what we call the opportunity cost of failing to enroll, which is just the difference between what they would pay in their current plan versus what the lowest cost plan would actually cost them. And we also looked at factors that influence plan enrollment decisions. Realize we also help patients navigate the website and actually enroll right then and there. We print out a confirmation page for them so they have all the information for that plan that they enrolled in. But we also wanted to see, well, what's really pulling people to enroll or what's causing them not to enroll during these events. For those who enrolled, we looked primarily at the estimated annual cost of the prescription drug plan. And again, this is what's calculated by that Plan Finder tool on the Medicare website. The premium amount of that plan, if that was what caused them to make that decision, or if it was based on the quality or customer service ratings that Medicare is now putting on the website for each plan. For those who didn't enroll, well, one of the reasons why they might not have changed plans is because they were already in the lowest cost plan. We wanted to record that and double check that. For some beneficiaries, we've seen them say, well, it's not really worth my time and effort to get all the new cards in, get everything reset up in the pharmacy, learn how to deal with a new customer service group that I haven't dealt with before. And so for some of them, the savings that we identified might not have been worth the switch. Many times they also had time constraints. And some individuals wanted to consult with their family or with another caregiver most of the time to validate if the costs that we were saying they could save were legitimate or not. So our basic patient characteristics that you'll see here are the age of our populations did differ slightly between our non-subsidized patients and our patients that had Medi-Cal as well as Medicare. And our non-subsidized patients were typically a little older. They were also more often whiter Caucasian, and they mostly spoke English. Notice that our dual eligible patients were mostly, or about a third of them, preferred a language other than English. One of the big sites we went to was actually a Vietnamese community center that we've worked with in years past, and so a lot of these dual eligible patients were of Asian descent. And then you'll also notice, which is fairly congruent with what we see in a lot of the reports, is medication utilization of dual eligible beneficiaries is slightly higher than those of non-subsidized patients. But again, the average is somewhere between 5 and 6 medications that they take per month on a regular basis. Now, what this is showing is how Medicare beneficiaries that showed up to our outreach events chose the plan that they were currently in. And as you can see, I guess you could say we did a pretty good job, because the 107 patients that we saw from the previous year, that represented about 40% of the total patients that we saw the previous year. Previous year we saw about 250. And so we got a lot of those coming back to us because they saw how valuable this service was. We've been doing this for about a week or two now already, that we're already in the open enrollment period, and we've seen patients for the fourth year now come out, and we're used to seeing them at these events. As you see, our population, again, these are low numbers, I understand, but again, there's our 6% actually use the Plan Finder tool, which is very congruent with previous larger studies that were sampling Medicare beneficiaries. And we also see a lot of non-subsidized patients using an insurance broker still. And again, a lot of the things we see from insurance brokers are not the most current data on the Medicare website, and it's basically going to break down what the premium is, what the copays are, and that's about it, and if it's a national plan or not. But it's not going to give them their actual cost. And then we also have our auto-enrolled dual-eligible beneficiaries at about 25% of those individuals who are dual-eligible, who are automatically enrolled in that plan. In terms of the cost, we saw on average for all patients, they could save about $450 in their total drug costs over the next year if they switch to the lowest cost plan. We didn't see too much of a variation between dual-eligible and non-subsidized patients. Really what this means for the dual-eligible patients, because if you know about the structure, really they're only paying $1 and $3 copays. What it really comes down to is a lot of the medications they were taking would go off the plan formulary. And so by identifying the lowest cost plan, what we were really doing for the duals is finding a plan that actually covered all their prescription medication. Typically, we saw about 1 in 4 this year, or this last year, that could remain in that plan, and we think a lot of that has to do with this next bit, which is that the plan in 2011 was actually less expensive than it was in 2010, and we think a lot of that has to do with the new policies that lowered the amount that they had to pay during the gap. Most of the beneficiaries that paid less would have hit the gap in 2011. And so the 50% for brand, the 7% for generic actually saved them some money. In terms of those who enrolled during the event, almost all patients enrolled in the lowest cost plan that was available to them. And obviously cost was very important and was the most important factor for the patients when they chose a plan. For those who did not enroll, again, this lumped in this group is those that already had the lowest cost plan, so they didn't need to change. The other reason, and you'll see this was a little bit more weighted on the non-subsidized patients, about 1 in 4 of them felt that the savings weren't worth changing. Again, it was a hassle factor of changing for most of these patients. Our other group got fairly large because during the MTM part of our intervention, we actually identified multiple medications, or at least one medication, that we could get a cheaper generic alternative available and would save the patient money. The problem is, it would change which plan was the lowest cost plan. So we couldn't just enroll them in a plan and say, this will be good no matter what you take. When the meds change, the plans change. If they didn't enroll on site, we would typically give them 2 different printouts, one if they were on their current medicine, one if they actually switched medications. That would be the lowest cost plan for them at that point based on their doctor's decision. So the key findings, the interesting thing is every year now for the past 4 years, we see about a little over a $400 increase or opportunity cost if you don't reevaluate your plan. We did see a decrease in plan costs, though, moving forward, and we think that has a lot to do with the subsidization that we saw during the coverage gap. And again, the annual plan costs remained what we kind of suspected was the main factor that influenced plan enrollment decisions. It wasn't a particular piece like the premium or the deductible, which some studies previously had shown, but really once they see that the annual cost is going to decrease and they know their total cost is going to decrease, that's going to be the biggest factor here. Again, the issue with that is the only way to do that is to go through the Medicare Plan Finder tool to actually get the cleanest results of that. Take-home message here, if you forget nothing else, please tell everyone you know who's a Medicare beneficiary to reevaluate their plan. They have an earlier cutoff this year until December 7th. And again, what we worry about as pharmacists, if the drugs cost more, does that also mean now that they're going to take less and possibly wind up in the hospital and increase our other costs for Medicare? And our other point as pharmacists is if insurance brokers are being paid for this and they give typically biased information, should other healthcare providers that are providing unbiased information be compensated for this service? We typically do this just as a community service right now. Thank you.
Thanks. We'll take one question while we're setting up the next person. The question from anyone?